general, I was, you know, getting there, but, y'all are going to get it.
I anyone have any questions? Got a review. Any questions? You can use your Bibles. If you're on tape, this is file 10. Holy Spirit 1, file 10. This is an easy test. Pardon? The next ones are not. Ambiguous, purposely so.
No.
So it can be true both one or the other and still be true. On this test, tongues is never designed to be, unless qualified, either one or the other. Either tongues praying in tongues from the Holy Spirit or the public ministry of tongues. So if you're in a true and false question, it'll be true if one of them applies. And it'll be false if none of them do. In other words, tongues is edifying to the speaker. That would be true, because it is. I didn't say the gift of tongues was edifying to the speaker. False. Or you know how I take that. In other words, if it's true, one or the other types of tongues, it'll still be true. So take it that way. Since I haven't said which type of tongues I'm talking about on the test. Somebody need more time? We'll take a few more minutes.
I have a question.
Go ahead. Which question? If you omitted it out of the Bible, would it change the meaning to somebody reading it? Basically the same things, the same result. Take it straight forward. Take it straight. It says, do not
anyone.
So. Not trying to split any hairs, but probably will before we're done. I may still need more time. Just take another minute or two. Trade papers, and let's go ahead and correct it. Did you finish, Steve? Did you finish? Question number one. What's the main theme of chapter 14? D is the main theme. All things in a church service should be done for edification. Question two, what is the main concept taught concerning speaking in tongues? E, the edifying use of speaking in tongues in an assembly of believers. He's trying to teach us how to use it in its proper place. Question three. What two things are contrasted in 1 Corinthians 14? Looks like B. Tongues and prophecy, at least part of the way through. If you speak in tongues, you edify yourself. If you prophesy, you edify the church. E. Gift of tongues and praying in tongues. I don't think so. In fact, if you look at 1 Corinthians 14, he's probably talking about praying in tongues all the way through there. The gift of tongues, if it's even mentioned, it's only by inference. Question four, what does the Greek word for prophecy literally mean? To speak beforehand. To speak beforehand. Question.
What word means?
The Hebrew word for prophecy. You're not supposed to know anything about that, so. Question five. I don't even know why that's on here. Question five. It's to get people that have been hanging around the chapel for a long time. Tests aren't any good if you know too much and you miss it. That's a bad question. Question 5. What should you do when a message in tongues is given? Well, see, pray that one will interpret. That's what he says. Pray that one will interpret. Question 6. 1 Corinthians 14:5 informs us that one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks with tongues unless he interprets. What does this mean? B. The one who prophesies is greater in reference to one thing, in edifying the assembly. He's greater in reference to edification. That's what he's referring to. You have to ask yourself, what is he referring to in that sense? Question 7. What is the proper interpretation of 1 Corinthians 14:27? Let it be by two or at the most by three, and let one interpret. D. A message in tongues may be repeated a limited number of times by turns. A can't be right, because that's going contrary to what he said. B. It doesn't have to be given a few times. He's not saying that. C, we discounted in class. E is same as B. No, they don't necessarily need to be repeated. Question 8. What is the proper interpretation of verse 28? Let him speak to himself and to God. A is right. Do not continue speaking aloud in tongues if the message is not interpreted after two or three repetitions. Question 9. What is the difference between the gift of prophecy and the gift of interpretation of tongues? What is the difference? A is not right. The gift of prophecy is usually found at only new converts. Definitely not that one. B, the gift of interpretation always tells future... No, prophecy tells future events. That's the whole purpose of prophecy. C, no, that isn't right either. D. The gift of interpretation of tongues must be preceded by a message in tongues. This is optional, for the gift of prophecy may or may not be... It's not that one either. E. What's left? The gift of interpretation of tongues must be preceded by a message in tongues. The gift of prophecy is not. Well, that's right. Really, prophecy and interpretation of tongues are basically the same thing. When you listen... If you just heard the message, you wouldn't know what it was. You really wouldn't know what it was. If you walked into service and somebody was interpreting, you wouldn't know if it was a prophecy or an interpretation. Question 10. When are 5 words in a known tongue more valuable than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue? C. When people are waiting edification. When other people are waiting, or Paul says that I might teach others. Question 11. What is the difference between the gift of tongues and the tongues that accompany the Holy Spirit baptism? A. The gift of tongues is operated by those that are more spiritual. That isn't right. B. They're both supernatural. C. Put C on hold for a minute. D is wrong. I think E is the answer. The gift of tongues is a message from God to man. Speaking in tongues is man's prayer to God. That is somewhat tenuous here. The problem with C is that speaking in tongues is never to be interpreted. You can't say that. You can't say it's never to be interpreted. How many put C? A few people put C. I can see your point. I almost went for that one myself. I don't like E because the gift of tongues, or at least the public ministry of tongues, could be God to man or man to God. It really could be. In other words, God would interpret what comes forth. And he will interpret prayers that are offered out in the public ministry that God is anointing. And I think that's what chapter 14 is all about. Now you might ask the question, why would God interpret a prayer? Well, it's because it's the prayer of the assembly being made known. In other words, it's the prayer that God is initiating by His Spirit, revealing the longing, the cry of the heart of the assembly. And God wants us to know what that cry is. God wants, in other words, somebody's spirit is in tune with God and the rest of us need to know what they're praying. And so, this is what he's talking about in chapter 14. I think I'll stick with E, though. Question one, true and false.
Just a question on number 9.
Go ahead.
Indeed, the gift of interpretation of tongues must be preceded by a message in tongues. What if that interpretation is somebody listening to the tongues in their own language? That's an exception, isn't it? Or it's during and not after?
Well, they wouldn't... That wouldn't be an interpretation. It would still be the tongue. In other words, if the tongue is going forward and somebody understands it, that isn't the interpretation. That's still the tongue.
But they're interpreting that it was meant for them.
There won't be any interpretation at all. There's just the tongue, and that's it. Just the message. They get it. They don't need an interpretation. So there wouldn't be any interpretation. What if somebody doesn't interpret it, and what? Is this a reference to question 9? Okay, question 9 is, what's the difference between the gift of prophecy and the gift of interpretation of tongues? So we're not even talking about the tongue, per se. So, question 1. So if we don't have an interpretation, we're not even in this question. Question 1, prophecy is the greatest gift. False. Now, he didn't say that. He didn't say which was the greatest gift. He just said the desire to edify the church. And he was using prophecy as his the gift he was referring to. B, the gift of tongues is the least of the spiritual gifts. False. He didn't say that either. These kind of statements without qualification are what all the Baptists out here are saying because they're not taking the qualification in order in 1 Corinthians 14. There is a qualification given. C, all Spirit-filled Christians should have the gift of tongues. Well, I would put false for that, because I would use the gift of tongues to refer to the public ministry of tongues. D, in a church service, prophecy is greater than interpreted tongues. Well, I would say false to that, because if the tongues is interpreted, how can it be greater? Prophecy edifies the church, and so does the interpreted tongues. Two. Yeah, that's false. Now, in a church service, prophecy would be greater than uninterpreted tongues, but not greater than interpreted tongues. The interpretation is what has he says, except he interpret. Verse 5. Question 2. Only the most spiritual can have spiritual gifts. Well, real life tells us false. B. Praying in tongues is speaking to God. True. Always a question like that that's real simple that gets people when they've been going through a bunch of false. C, God speaks to men through the gift of tongues. True. D, praying in tongues is never to be interpreted. False. It is to be interpreted in a certain context. In public assembly, it should be. Yes. Well, the problem with that is the use of the word gift and also the use of the word praying in tongues and so forth. I prefer to throw out the word gift of tongues entirely and talk about tongues that are our spirit crying out to God, the sign of the Holy Spirit baptism, and tongues that are used in the public assembly. And that tongues that are used in the public assembly include both God speaking to man as a message and man praying to God. So there is a time when praying in tongues is interpreted. in the public assembly. Question 3. A, the gifts of the Spirit are only used to edify the assembly. That's false. They have a wider range than that. They are used to edify the assembly, but they're used outside the assembly. They're used out in life. They're used out among sinners. They're used in the evangelistic field. B, we should desire spiritual gifts. True. C, we should never pray in tongues together. False. D, Paul says messages in tongues with interpretation should be limited to 3 in any one service. That's false. Maybe tongues without interpretation, but not tongues with. Question 4. Paul discouraged tongues. That's false. He might have discouraged the misuse of it, but not tongues in general. B, tongues are always a known language. Well, I put false for that. I suppose they're known to somebody. At least they're known to God. But, you know, with a question like this, the point was known to men. No, they're not always known to men. See, if everyone speaks in tongues at once, no one is edified. Well, I put false for that. If everyone speaks in tongues at once, everybody's edified. D, praying in the Spirit is only mentioned to the church at Corinth. False. Go ahead. The what would, what's that?
All of the adults, all the individual people. See, like when pandemonium strikes, everybody out there is getting edified, but not by the assembly, but by yourself. That's what I think the question. See, we said no one is edified, well, no, I would get edified on that.
Well, did you put false then? I'm trying to think like you're thinking. I always try to see if there's a reason a person could take it that way.
Okay, if you got everybody speaking in tongues at once.
Including you.
Including me. No one is edified. I disagree. I think.
So you think everybody's edified? That's what I think. I put false. Question 5. Let's take 5 minutes here so that people on tape can keep up with us. Just get a drink and take 5 minutes and then we'll keep on here. Die to self time to correct test. Oh.